What's the title of this thing?
Is it rolling, Bob?
Chick, chick. Oh, boy. Here's the funny part. I had just told myself I wasn't going to talk to you tonight. That this was going to be my time. My own thinking time. Without involving you, the Dixon Jane's listeners. I mean, it was almost another case of me wanting to... Well, punish would be a bit of an exaggeration, but... Just hold back from you. You know, maybe they're not really appreciating me enough. And I'm saying that. I guess it's an attempt at humor. Because I just listened to my last podcast from Montreal, and I thought, oh, that's going to be a good one to end. Parts were interesting and parts are just fucking boring. I thought it ended on a very important note by just talking about my sons, my relationship with them, my relationship with my father. Those are things that are important. And I'm glad I shared that, and I think I felt, okay, I should just stop there for a while. And I don't want to talk anymore. Leave it at that. Leave that with you. Take a break. And then I lay here, where I am right now, in a little French, well, Quebec town called Montmagny. There's a ferry here, and I'm parked in a parking lot at the ferry terminal. And I see another trailer, another camper van, a couple of other vehicles that are parked clearly overnight for, you know, free camping spot. I didn't know this was here, but I had picked out Montmagny as a destination to head for today. It's just past Quebec City, 50 kilometers past Quebec City, that much closer to Rivière-du-Loup, where you make the turn down to New Brunswick. So, I lay here, having decided I'm not going to turn on the recorder, and had a really, to me, very interesting train of thought. And it was so interesting that I decided, damn it, I have to record this. I have to share this. And now that I've given such a build-up, it's for sure going to seem anticlimactic. Like, what? You woke us up for what? First of all, let me say it's nice to be lying down comfortably. I've been sick for 2 days. Today is Saturday, August 15th. So my son prepared a meal Tuesday night. He left Wednesday. I think around Wednesday evening I began to feel sick with the stomach. And then what can only be described as explosive diarrhea. Nobody else in the family was sick, so I can't really blame it on the meal my son prepared. But something got into me. No headache, no other symptoms, just diarrhea like I haven't had since I was in Nigeria. And that lasted 2 days. It was not pretty, let me tell you. It was not pretty. I mean, when is diarrhea ever pretty? But yeah, this was bad. I won't go any further into the details. And I was exhausted because you drained of all your fluids. You can't eat. And so I was so tired. And so I had to, of course, postpone the trip. I wanted to meet my my brother in New Brunswick. And I had to cancel out on the first meeting, which would have been, you know, this afternoon. And by today, by 11 o'clock this morning, I was on the road. I was up at 7, and every time I'd load something into the van, I had to go to lie down. I mean, I was just that exhausted. But I knew I'd feel better once I got into the van and got rolling. And sure enough, I think that helped. Just get out of the house and roll down the highway. I did 840 kilometers, which is more than I like to do in a day. And it was well after dark when I arrived. Now, I was going along the highway and thinking, okay, I could stop early, but no, I'd set Momigny as a destination. I had my iPhone set to that. You know, get me there. But as it got dark, I thought, maybe I've misplanned. And I was driving by, and in the distance, I could see a church steeple. It was still light. It was around 8 o'clock, and I thought, now that's perfect. A little town, a Catholic church, I'm just going to park in the back of that church, and next thing you know, I missed the turnoff. It's too late. By the time I had processed that idea of, you know, exiting and going into this little town, and, you know, there were other things there, there's a big gas station, I could, you know, if I couldn't get into the churchyard, maybe I could park behind the gas station anyway. I missed the turn and started to regret that, oh my God, then what now? God, I got another 100 kilometers to go. I'm tired. It's getting dark. But I pushed on. And as I got closer to Momigny and took the turn off, I saw, oh, there's a ferry terminal. Well, you can always park at ferry terminals. That'll be good. So drove in and found this wonderful little spot. The tank was empty, like the warning sign came on by then. It's time to get gas. I knew it was down low, but it actually, you know, the bell went. Come on. You need gas, asshole. Well, it doesn't say that, but you know the drill. So anyway, turned back into town, filled it up, and then came back here. Took a little walk on the pier, and now I'm lying down. And as I lay down, I began to feel very grateful. Grateful that really by chance I'd sort of picked up Momigny just because it was past Quebec City. It was a good chunk of highway, you know, under my belt on the first day. And I felt glad about that. I felt glad that I've more or less recovered my health. I'm back to normal. I felt grateful. And I thought back to the things I talked about in the last podcast, how happy I am about so many things, and that I can always see a positive light. I didn't harp about being sick for 2 days. Hey, I was okay. I was at home. I had a comfortable bed. I had a washing machine when needed. I had a shower. I had disinfectant for the toilet seat. I was okay. But I got here, and I lay down, and again I felt this gratitude. Here I am, safe. I found a place I didn't even know really that would turn out to be such a good place. This wonderful, you know, parking lot right on the water. It's lovely. Nobody's going to throw me out tonight. There's a McDonald's in town. I'll go there and get my breakfast tomorrow. And then head off. I've only got another 5.5 hours to catch up to my brother, who will not be expecting me until tomorrow. I can do that if I get an early start. I just felt I wanted to thank somebody. And I said out loud, thank you, God. And then immediately, said, "That's funny. You don't believe in God." And I answered back, "Yeah, but I have to think. Someone, who do you think? Who do you think? For all the blessings in your life, the blessings you have every day." And I started going through the blessings, and I stopped at fresh bread. When we go to the store and we buy a fresh loaf of bread, and it's got, you know, it's either the multigrain or one with quinoa or, you know, some seeds, and you pick out a slice and you hold it in your hand, and it's so soft and so fresh, and it's going to be so tasty when you bite into it, especially if you slather it with peanut butter, which is my favorite, or just some blueberry jam. And I think, man. And I thought about that piece of bread and said, well, that's who I think. Where did that bread come from? And so right away you think of the farmers. Well, the farmers who grew the grain and all the other ingredients that went into that bread. And the truckers who took it from one place to another. And the people that work in the milling plant or whatever it is. I don't know how bread is made. And I know that's a factory element to it. But still, it originally comes from labor. From people working. Machines working. People who design the machines. And you couldn't even begin to count how many people are involved in getting that slice of bread into your hand. The people in the store putting it out there. The packaging people. The delivery people. Everybody who's involved in giving you that piece of bread. And then you go further and you think, well, how did the bread get to the store? Well, the highways, well, there are politicians involved. There are highway people. There are workers. There are people who put down the asphalt. There are more truck drivers. There's just countless people. It's your brothers. It's humanity. It's the people around you. That's who you thank. You thank your fellow man for cooperating and working together and dividing labor. And everybody doing something to make your life easy and enjoyable. Everybody does their part. And that came as a revelation. Maybe it sounds trite to you. It doesn't to me. To me, it was a real answer. No, I don't have to thank God. I have to thank my fellow man. Maybe I'll get defensive at this point, as I often do, in case you disagree. I know nobody's going to disagree with that. Why are you so defensive, Ken? God, get over that. All right, I don't want to spoil it. I just felt that was important enough to share with you. It's something I'm going to hold. I mean, it's something that's... Maybe I've thought that before, but it just seemed clearer today, just now. But now I need to sleep. Thank you for listening. Scarborough Dude signing off from Momigny, Quebec. Chick, chick. Oh, I like that. good morning from St. Andrews, New Brunswick. Last time you heard, I was in Momigny, Quebec. That turned out to be just such a perfect place to camp. Well, to park. To boondock is the term road trekkers use. Just was perfect. And quiet. Right on the water. And just right. Anyway, I managed to put on some miles, get through Quebec into New Brunswick, and catch up with my brother, sister-in-law, niece, and her daughter. Here at the Ocean View or Ocean Front Kiwanis Campground in St. Andrews. A very, very neat little town. I don't believe I may have passed through here decades ago and really not paid much attention. But it's very interesting historically. A United Empire Loyalist came up, some fortifications and cannons for the War of 1812. And just the town itself, I mean, it's pretty luxurious. A whole history devoted to, how could I possibly forget his name? A man devoted to, was it Van Horn? The Canadian Railway. Very, very rich. And there's an island that he came to. And anyway, Google it. St. Andrews, New Brunswick. I'm not going to try and get into all the details because I haven't really explored it. My brother and the family did yesterday and the day before. They've been here a few days. And there's so much to see historically and then eating-wise. Last night, they took me out to a roadside fish and chip stand, and it was very good. A couple of big pieces of haddock and too many chips to eat. But it is now morning. I had a good sleep. I don't suppose I need to tell you this, but I will anyway. I finally christened the road track toilet. I decided it was too long a walk to the toilets here. And nature was calling. So there we go. Done, christened. And I realized, hey, come on, man, you're going to be in this thing for weeks. There's going to be times when you want to use the toilet. So, I mean, I was... Anyway, sorry, Jesus, eh? I wanted to tell you how happy I was, like right now in this moment. And again, I know that rings false, because, okay, if you're happy, why'd you get out the recorder and have to tell people? But it's just something I do, and it doesn't distract from the happiness, and I'm not sure it really reinforces it, but I need to share it. You know, my instincts say don't. And the other thing is, because I've got so much momentum going, hey, if I've been doing this for this long, why the hell would you arbitrarily decide to stop now? Like, where does that decision come from? I understood why I didn't record when I was in Australia. That made sense. But on this trip to Newfoundland, and I'm going to try and keep it short. I'm not going to do too many rambling entries. But it was a very pleasant meeting up with part of the family I don't see often enough. And it is very pleasant sitting here now in my comfortable captain's chair, drinking hot coffee out of the beautiful red mug I could not resist that I bought on Rue Saint-Jean in Quebec City. It's lovely, and I just wanted it, and I'm so happy I brought it on this trip. And wearing, for the sake of warmth and coziness, my new Bark Lake shirt. They are lovely. This is the one they said, hey, all the counselors bought them. It's really cozy, and it's just, it feels so good. You know, to be, it's a morning chill, and to have something that's just snug and cozy, it's just a good feeling. So maybe that's partly why I wanted to share it with you. The drive was nice. I mean, some highway and then a lot of rambling back roads, winding roads. I love driving this thing. And anyway, I got here and explained the situation. Do you have a reservation? No. Well, and they had a spot, which was, it's in basically an open field of RVs. And when I went to see the one they assigned, which was close to my brother, there was already people sitting at a picnic table, things plugged into the, you know, outlet I would have been using, and absolutely no privacy, just bam, open in the bright sunshine. And I looked at it and thought, well, I'm here now, you know, I've paid my $43, but Jesus Christ, I'd eat the way I camp. And it was just something I realized, no, I really don't want to compromise on this. So I'll talk to my niece and I'm going to go back and see what they can do. And they had tent sites. And then, well, maybe that's a little better. I think it'd be cheaper too. No, it was only $6 cheaper. But, we have a tent site with electrical hookup. And so sure enough, there's one called 3.5. And it is got to be the best spot in the whole damn campground. It backs onto a little bit of an abandoned railway line that was the private railway line of this Van Horn, if that's the right family name. And I mean, it is a glorious park, and it is ocean view. So good way to spend. I mean, here we are, my second day on the tour, and it's well, I guess it's third day out. It's the morning, but it just feels good. So enjoy my coffee. My refrigerator, now that it's plugged in, seems to be working fine. The orange juice is cold to wash down my pills. So there is an advantage to being plugged in. I got to load up with water again. But anyway, the other reason I wanted to talk to you was this little passage I have, the one book I picked out. I brought several books with me, but this one I keep going back to, and I have again over 20 years. Buddhism is not What You Think by Steve Hagen. He's the one who wrote Buddhism Plain and Simple, which was my Bible for a long time. The subtitle, Finding Freedom Beyond Beliefs. But these are the kind of things you read, and you read again, and you read again, and you read again. And I had it bookmarked. Notice that's the Great Escape bookmark here on Kingston Road, great little store. I had it bookmarked to this page, or this section anyway, called Muddy Water. Enlightenment is nothing more than this: to be fully present, to see the grasping nature of our own minds, and not to act out of that grasping. It is to see ourselves not as separate, not as lacking, not as in charge, not as weak and helpless. Now, that works for me right now, and I've talked about this. Maybe it's illusion. I think it's real. The fact that I am understanding things better. And when I say understanding things, no, I don't know how things work, and I haven't figured out the water, the plumbing, or anything else. But just life and living life and entering the moment, putting up with the children yelling and not being upset. It just... there's something that gives a pleasure to it. Now, I personally do, you know, I've said that. Now, I think those parents should be saying, hey, kids, it's 8 in the morning. There's people still sleeping. You don't need to be yelling at each other. I blame the parents always, but anyway. See, there you go. You get drawn into something. Like, there could be a joyful... Well, no. When I park to fill up gas and a guy pulls in front of me, facing my car, and at an angle such that I could not get out, and meanwhile there's two cars behind me wanting to get in, wondering why I'm not moving forward so they can get to the tank that I have, that I'm at when I'm full, and I can't pull out. And it was an act of sheer ignorance. And not only that, he didn't pay at the pump. He had to go in twice into the store. Now, I didn't say anything to him. I did curse out loud, and the lady on a motorcycle in the next lane over kind of shrugged and, you know, suggested go around, and then another car pulled out and I had to maneuver around. But it was an act of colossal ignorance, selfishness, stupidity. And it's hard to ignore those, to not get drawn in to the ignorance of others. But you don't want it to consume you. You want to be able to put it in perspective. And now, it's funny, as I picture that, I feel some anger, some residual anger. Like I want to punch him in the head. And it's like it's a kind of pollution, the dirt. How do we get rid of that? Why am I... Excuse me. Oh, dear. why am I sharing this? I do apologize for some people. I mean, I do not belch around my wife. She finds it absolutely disgusting. And I'm sure there are some listeners out there who do too, but, you know, maybe that's just an example of the ignorance of others, it being my ignorance. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and I wanted to tell you, oh my God, 11 minutes. It's going to be a whole damn podcast in the first 3 days. That I'm happy to be on the road. It's still so early. I mean, this is only 2 nights out. Today we're moving, this morning, this afternoon we're moving to St. Martin's, New Brunswick. And after that I've got to find my way to Sydney to get a ferry to Newfoundland. I'm going to do Newfoundland, I think, before. I could go to St. John's, cross over, visit Cliff and Alice. But that will just slow me down. I've really got to get to Newfoundland first. Talk to you some other time from some other place. Scarborough Dude. Getting back to his coffee and his Buddhism. Bye for now. Do you want the last word, Crow? Is a sip from my Kanemaskoka craft lager. I didn't buy it. My son did when he made that special meal from us, the meal after which I got very ill, but cannot attribute that to his meal. I'm thinking a stray piece of one of his fancy salads, maybe, but there's no telling. Anyway, I'm fully recovered. This is, let's see, this is Tuesday. I left Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. This is day 4 on the road trip to Newfoundland. I'm in St. Martin's. Excuse me. Lovely, lovely little campsite. It's not a provincial park, it's a private campsite. Great showers, clean washrooms, good facilities. I'm parked facing my brother, who's sort of ocean view, and I'm not far from it. I mean, I'm looking at the Bay of Fundy from where I'm sitting right now, beside the van, and I've got electric hookup, 30 amp, everything's running fine, the refrigerator is ice cold, it's so nice in the morning to get up and have cold orange juice. This is the way I like to camp now. Today, well, every day has been a good day out, but today was very special. We made a trip down the Fundy Trail. They've extended it. They extend it every year, and they've added another 10 kilometers at least onto it now, to the point where there's a road going down to the, you know, beach area. We spent a lot of time there, walked right out to the water. It was wonderful. I collected rocks, none as beautiful as our rock from the Bay of Fundy, but that might have been Nova Scotia side. A lot of exercise, and by the time we got back to the Caves restaurant, where I'd eaten. Now, I corrected myself. I said 2 years ago. It was 3 years ago when I camped. In fact, I'm right across from the cottage I stayed in. That was before I had the road trek. And just linking up with my brother and his wife and my niece. And this time it's just her and her daughter. And it's been very pleasant. We've done a lot of stuff together. We're going out tonight to have their famous clam chowder. I'm looking forward to it. And lovely tables just overlooking the Bay of Fundy. I mean, it's just a great little town. It's just a little like an old fishing village. You know, it's not developed at all the way St. Andrews is. And I think I like it for that. It's a place I would come back to readily. Now, pardon my flat voice. Today, the day started with the handle came off the coffee pot. I looked at it. Gosh, there's just a little bit of a weld on the bottom part, and it was full of hot coffee, and it could have been a disaster. But I knew enough to get out oven mitts to get it off the coffee pot, and realized it was a job for duct tape. And sure enough, the handle is back on firmly with about 4 wraps of duct tape. The thing is, I had to find the duct tape. And so, even though this happened this morning, last night, I spent a fair amount of time sorting things out, taking everything out of the cupboards and putting, okay, this is a cupboard for food, or this level is for food, and this is for the pots and pans and bigger cooking things, measuring cup, which I'll never use, but and then this other top shelf for the plates and things. So it's nicely organized now, and I haven't done extended camping. I've done short trips, but this is going to be the longest. And the fun of camping is being organized, knowing right away in your head when you need something, you know exactly where it is. So I've still got a little work to do on that, but it's a very satisfying feeling. All that's missing is I had a wonderful little toolkit that was in it looked like a beer can, and you just opened it up, and I use it all the time, and I've used it on this road trek, and I cannot find it. And I know I've used it for jobs around the house, and I might have taken it back in and never put it back where it belongs, which is in this road trek. So that's a disaster. But where to begin? All right, I fixed the coffee pot. And last night my brother showed me. I said, you know, one of the pains. I took out the propane barbecue, but to get at it, I had to open the second door in the rear, and to get at that, you have to lower down the Continental tire that's standing up against the door and blocking the way. So I did it once with both my sons, and I think there was a half-hour argument about what needed to be done and what wrenches and tools, and it was ridiculous. We finally got it down. All that's involved, as my brother pointed out to me, is you simply pull the cotter pin out, and it comes down. You have to hold it with 2 hands or 2 people. It's heavy. But that's all that you do. And then when you lift it back up, you hold it against your chest and just slide in that cotter pin, and you're done. That simple. So that was one of the things my brother taught me, the proper way of getting that door open and this down without hurting yourself. And today asked me again, watched me do it a second time, because he's my older brother, Richard. And he's always been a teacher to me. He's always known how to fix things and do things, especially around cars, anything to do with electronics, well, electricity, let's say. Stereos, you know, radios, anything like that. And motor vehicles of any kind. And of course, he's here with a trailer and knows all about these things. So that was the first thing, and I thought, great. And so today I took down the tire just now and rearranged where everything is going to go in the back. So the things I need to get at soon, like the propane barbecue, which I used last night to cook the hamburgers, I didn't finish that story. Man, oh man, it works beautifully. You just have to screw on the little propane tank and cranks up the heat. It's amazing. So this I'm going to be using all the time, hence the need to rearrange the back so that I can only open the one door without having to drop down the Continental tire to reach in and pull out the barbecue. So that's another bit of the rearranging, getting it so that it's... Think of the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Now, we're not at that level of sophistication, but you're moving in that direction of just being maybe either fewer movements or smoother procedures or just a more efficient way of doing things. And that propane barbecue is going to slide right back in under my sofa in the back door, and I'll be able to get that because I'll be using that a lot in Newfoundland, which reminds me I got to go grocery shopping tomorrow because I understand it's hard to find a lot of food in Newfoundland and things are expensive. So I booked a ferry, by the way. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I booked 11:45 p.m. Wednesday night, arriving 7:15 in the morning, ferry from Sydney, Nova Scotia to Port-au-Basque. And I'm very excited about that, a night ferry to get to Newfoundland, and that'll be it, my last province, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and that's what this trip is all about, this trip that's supposed to have me halfway across the country by now, heading to Vancouver, which is so funny, and I'm so glad it's not. And so anyway, these days here that overlapped, I was able to leave and catch up with my brother in St. Andrews and spend time with them and, you know, reminisce about old days, about Malone, New York, about my father, about family memories and dynamics and any number of things. Now, where were we? Propane barbecue. So last night I said, you know, the only thing I haven't done yet is flush my tanks. I can empty the black and the gray tanks, and I'm really not sure how to do it. Do you think you could just give me a hand tomorrow? So after our drive, after we came back, after he treated us all to ice cream, he said, all right, let's go. Get me the manual. I'll read through it quickly. He read through it, and of course, he's got the same. The only thing missing on his system is a macerator. He doesn't have a macerator, but he's got the black and the gray tanks. And so we did it. And sure enough, I had the proper fluid that the previous owners had given me for flushing out the tanks. Or purifying, I guess. And man, oh man, a lot of crap came out. Like the rumor was, you know, I said, I mean, I finally christened this on this trip. And the previous owner said, oh, we never use the toilet, you know. We never use that. Well, somebody was using it. It's not a pleasant sight watching that come through the hose. But what a huge relief. And at this campsite, which is so wonderful, not only do I have water, not only do I have, you know, 30-amp power and no extensions needed and parked right beside the stuff, there is a drain pipe right here for you to drain your water system, your black and gray water. And so got it out for the first time ever, opened it up, put in the plug, and flushed out that toilet and the whole tank. And there was a lot in there. I've had this thing for 2 years, and there have been a lot of wee-wees. yeah. Anyway. Oh, my God. And the horrible puking for Bob's birthday cruise, the memorial cruise. That's finally gone. That's finally gone. Mark will be glad to know that. Mark, if you're listening, if you ever catch up, I'd like you to know that all the puking I did that night, well, no, most of it went into a blender and then into a plastic garbage bag, but whatever was left over got flushed out today. It's the first time to empty the tanks. But again, my brother just, all right, this is what you do, you know. Do that, and now, okay, now fill it with water again and flush out that toilet a third time, and then finally, like, 2 ounces of this purifier that goes in, which is going to ungum everything. So that was just tremendously satisfying and like a weight off my shoulders. Thanks again to my big brother, who has helped me out many, many, many times in my life. When I bought my first car, well, that was my first car. No, that was in Austin, America. When I bought Henry, the orange Datsun 510, my favorite car in Montreal, he went to the dealer with me and he just beat them down in price. No, it's got to have it. It's got to have this thing. That universal joint's no good. And he was just throwing things out there at them like he was the mechanic. And all right. And I think I ended up getting it for $500. the wonderful car. That was the car that a lady knocked on my door that night when she saw it parked on the driveway. Said, I'd just like you to know that was my car I just sold, and I wanted you to know its name is Henry. So it was Henry from that point on. I used to name all my cars, but, well, you're sitting beside Sal right now. Anyway, I just, this, I was going to call it a dialogue. No, this monologue, this diary, this journal is about a lot of things, but sometimes it involves family, and I'm just grateful, so grateful that I caught up with them, and I've had a great tour with them, and it's been really, really nice, and it's been nice for them to enjoy my company in a way. We get along well. And so here's to my beer, your toast of whatever you want, orange juice, coffee. Here's to the faithful Dixon Jeans listeners who keep coming back for more. It's the Scarborough Dude from St. Martin's. Looking out, feeling the breeze, feeling that wonderful fresh breeze and a huge blue sky just off the Bay of Fundy in New Brunswick. Bye for now. Check, check. I am intentionally starting this now while waiting in line to board the ferry with the idea that as soon as I get this started, our line will start moving. I'm in the line with trailers and other RVs. Actually, I'm the only road truck. Everything else is just trailers, I think. But we are boarding. It is 9:30 at night. The set to sail at 11:45 p.m. And I'm excited. I've planned this. I've changed in my mind. It's crazy. We don't arrive till 7:15 in the morning. You ought to be prepared to get through the night. I didn't book a room or anything. And so you want to have your comforts. So I'm trying to keep it down to one light little pack to carry. And then I changed my idea about what to wear. If I'm outside on the deck, it's going to be cold and windy. You know, you better get that warm sweater with a hoodie. I'll put that on. Ah, it's too hot. It's too hot. So I'll put on a thick shirt. And then, all right, I'll bring my black leather jacket, because if it's rainy, my Bark Lake black coat, because it's like water repellent. That'll be the best thing, yeah. And it zips up, yeah, that'll be warm. And then I'm like, no, the one I bought at Bark Lake, the other one, oh, it's so cozy and soft. No, that's better. Okay, I'll bring the baseball hat. No, that could blow off. No, bring the Aussie hat with the string under your chin, you know, that you won't lose it. Crazy. I mean, in the end, none of it matters a whole lot, but you want to be, you know, you always want to be comfortable. That's sort of what you aim for. I'm looking at the size of these trucks. There's one mammoth moving truck. It's unbelievably long. And these things are getting on one after another. Like, you know, there's five axles on that trailer. And these things are loading onto this boat. Okay, it floats, you know. You get that idea. But it goes back to when I was talking about, you know, thanking my fellow humans for this soft bread. My God, the human work that's gone into designing ships that are safe to sail, where you can load them with trucks that are made to carry things people need from one end of the country to the other. It's just incredible how sophisticated humans can be, are, in this case. It's mind-blowing. How the fuck did we do all that? I mean, these cars, this RV, the light, electric lights, Jesus Christ. All so quickly, like we must be reaching some kind of a collection point or something where things are just going to somehow zap into place and there'll be a new liftoff of consciousness or something. No, of course I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just amazed. There's two huge semi-transports side by side, both moving up in line to get on. I have the feeling, You know, I was thinking, they put a lot of cars on first, and I'm assuming it's first on, first off. But no, they have their ways. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. It is a science, you know. But I was wondering, they wouldn't want trailers holding up traffic. So I have the feeling our lane is going to be near the end in terms of getting off and letting these cars zip by. So I've got to figure out where I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to Grossmorn. I don't know how to pronounce it. Grossmorn National Park. I figure that's my first destination. I bought a ton of food, like about $130 worth. I bought $130 worth of gas this morning, and then I decided it was going to be cheaper here, so I filled the tank again, another $115. Like, yo! I'm knocking up the miles, you know. It was 600 kilometers from St. Martin's to here. Anyway, I bought all this food, like, and it was fun. I made a mistake. I made a wrong turn. 5 kilometers out of my way, each way. That's not bad. But, actually found a Sobeys, and I don't know where I would have got food had I not made that mistake. And that's the way I operate. I didn't deliberately make a wrong turn, but I was so glad to pull in and see this thing. And said, that's exactly what I need. A big supermarket, reasonable prices, and so bought steaks and just a lot of stuff. With the excitement, the fun of buying it, knowing, hey, I'm going to be sitting in camps. I'm going to be cooking my own meals here. I mean, I bought a lot of good food. I am excited. So anyway, this will be I don't know if this is a new episode or I don't know how I'm going to do these. Hats off to Anthony Marco for his last couple of very long hour and a half podcasts. A new format for him. But when I was driving long roads today, it was actually very engaging listening to Anthony talk. And sometimes, I don't know, I do these segments, but in Anthony's case, it seemed like he was talking to us. And I wonder if when I podcast, if it actually seems I'm talking to you or I'm just talking to me, rather selfishly. But anyway, I hope you get something out of it too. But thanks, Anthony. It was good. And your choice of music when you went to the doctor songs. And, you know, there was something else that fit really nicely. So nice job. And it was good listening. Okay. So the line hasn't moved. That trick didn't work. But I think I'm going to shut off anyway. I just wanted to give a quick intro. And I think we'll be soon. So, Scarborough Dude from the ferry terminal in North Sydney about to board. I don't know the name of this particular ship, but it's a huge motherfucker. And we're off to Porto Basque or wherever it is in Newfoundland, on Newfoundland for the first time ever for me. Very, very excited about that. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
Chick. I need to talk. I think I have to just decompress a little. I didn't get much sleep at all last night, of course, on the ferry. I mean, it was after midnight by the time it pulled out. Pulled in at 7:15. I spent maybe less than 2 hours actually just lying on the floor on the seventh floor where they had lots of nice seats. Now, you could pay a premium and get nicer seats that reclined more and get a blanket, maybe. I didn't bother with that. I thought I'd be out walking around and enjoying it. But once you're out on deck, it's pretty dark. It was neat this morning getting up on deck and watching as this maneuvered this giant ship into port. Quite incredible. Layers of trucks and cars. I was on level 3. We got out pretty fast, so that was sort of the start of some of the troubles. I was just determined to. I thought, when I saw all the vehicles on it, I thought they're all going to be going up this same road. Well, of course they're not. People aren't all going to Grossmorn. So I bombed. I programmed it into the iPhone. It's, all right, let's go. Grossmorn, here we come. and didn't stop. And then realized, geez, I'm hungry. They had a big breakfast deal on the ship. And I said, no, I don't want that. I bought all this stuff. I spent a fortune in grocery shopping. I'm not going to go spend money for a breakfast I can make myself. So it was an overcast day. And I went zipping past the tourist information because I didn't want to sort of get out of the line I was in and have a whole bunch of vehicles get ahead of me. And so it was a bit of a race, which was pointless and unnecessary. Zipped past Corner Brook, had no interest in stopping there. I think I stopped for one roadside Tim Hortons and then finally found a place overlooking a lake, a motel or something. And made heated up a hamburger and made a sandwich. And then was disappointed because my brother gave me the advice about just, you know, turn your propane on and then run your fridge on the propane. But it doesn't seem to be working. And I don't know what I've done wrong. I think I followed his instructions. There's an option button, and when you don't have power, it automatically switches to propane. But I have the feeling maybe that's not working well. So I was determined to get a site with electricity because when I was camped with him in St. Martin's and St. Andrews, it was very pleasant. It was bright and sunny. The weather was beautiful. I was happy. I was very excited at the start of the journey. And today, starting off, racing up the hill towards us, and it's a fair distance. And being disappointed because things weren't staying cold in the fridge. Of course, they've been off all night, too, because you have to shut the propane off when you're on the ship. A little thing like that bothered me. And speaking of bothering me, I really got to bring this up, because you know how I like to talk about how much wiser I am now. And, you know, when I read these books on Buddhism, I get it. I get it. I live it. But still, there are aggravations. And the other day when we were camping in St. Martin's, I was sitting in the toilet, door closed, of course, and somebody came in and started shaving an electric shaver. And I thought, why are you doing that? And first of all, I imagined for some reason he'd gone into the shower to do it. And I was picturing all his hair over the tiled floor that whoever went in next was going to get this man's beard hairs on his bare feet. And it just disgusted me. And I realized, no, of course he's not doing that. He's at the sink shaving. But once I had that image in my mind, it just made me angry. And this guy just fucking shaved forever. Like, it went on and on. For fuck's sake, you stupid asshole, you're camping. Who the fuck cares about a perfect beard? Perfect shave. Jesus Christ. And it just went on. And the longer it went on, the more angry I got at this stupid human. I mean, really, really irritated. And then today, here I'm at a different campground. I really need a dump. So I'm in there, and I'm stunned. The washroom, it's like nobody's used them. It was like the scene out of 2001 when the aliens have created this room. It's just perfectly sterile. And there's not a footprint. There's nothing. Oh, my God, they must have just cleaned it just this minute. Anyway, I'm sitting there, door closed, same thing. And somebody starts brushing their teeth. And it just annoyed me, the sound of this person brushing their teeth. No reason at all. I just disliked this person. I hated this person. They were an idiot. I didn't see them. I made sure that they left before I got out. It just pissed me off. Now, I know that's ridiculous, but it made me think, my God, what about in the old days of, you know, kings and emperors and people who have all this power over others? If they wake up one day in a bad mood, they're going to torture people. They're going to hurt people. And it made me so sad. Like, if I feel that way over the sound of an electric razor or somebody brushing their teeth, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to share it with you. And of course, I know if you're honest out there, little things bother you too. But people in positions of power that can abuse it because of petty annoyances or jealousies or whatever Oh, my God, how horrible to live under such conditions. And again, how blessed we are. The engineering for getting all those trucks and everything off the... I use engineering in a very general way, sorry. The planning, the skill, the programming, the working out of the unloading and the loading. It's just, it's amazing. And again, that takes teams of people. And when I watched all these trucks, you know, again, beyond that loaf of bread, beyond that slice of bread, the complexity of our lives and every little piece. I was listening to a show I enjoy, of course, all the time. Ken Herndon and Dave Broadbeck, when they do tangential conversions. You know what I'm talking about. Ken was talking about how, you know, the breakdown of trade, you know, between nations and so on. Somebody was observing, and I can't remember if this was from a show or a documentary or just his research. But like a stubby beer bottle, one society on its own could not be capable of manufacturing that. You know, once you have this breakdown, all the parts that you would need just to make a simple drink, I think he used the reference for a root beer or something, that we're so dependent on every other nation for all the parts that go into anything, that we just everything would break down completely, you know, when you break down trade. Just a tangent, which is what it's all about. I'm feeling a little better now that I talked to you, and basically I'm just tired. It's 1 p.m., and like I say, I was on the 7:30, we rolled off that ferry, and I drove pretty well the whole way. And then when I got here, here was another mistake I made, and my own stupidity. There was a sign that said, "Get your park passes here," and I see vehicles, maybe a line of three or four cars. And I've got a park pass. I couldn't stand. I was already annoyed. I don't want to be in line behind those cars because some asshole in the beginning or at the front of the line is going to be asking a lot of questions and they're going to be too polite and just keep them there. And I don't want to wait. So I raced by. And that was my mistake. I didn't have a map. I didn't know where the campsites were. And I finally got to a visitor center. By then I was exasperated, to quote Anthony Margo, that just... Maybe they don't even have campgrounds here. I hadn't done any research. Anyway, that led me to somebody saying, well, I got a couple of electrical sites left at, what's this place? Green River? No, Berry Hill. Not a spot. There's only 69 campsites here. But it was enough for today. Now, tomorrow, depending on the weather, if it's maybe raining, I may just keep driving all the way north to L'Anse-aux-Meadows. I have to do that anyway. It may be better to do that on a rainy day. And then come back and spend another day here because it's way up the northern peninsula. And I do have a map now and I can see what I have to do. Anyway, the only reason I'm recording now is I just didn't feel it would be right to only record pieces when I'm on top of the world. Everything's going my way, and aren't I wonderful? And I needed a little bit of realism to share with you. So I'm going to lie down. I'm going to rest a bit, and boy, I'm going to get myself a cold drink from that fridge as soon as now it's plugged in at 30 amp. It's going to chill up in no time. Scarborough dude trying to chill himself. Bye for now.